Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair comes from Manscaped, who's number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I'm sure some of you saw what happened to Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford on Saturday. He talked a big game and got his balls clipped. That happens. It sucks. But not anymore with the Lawnmower 2.0 with skin-safe technology that's easy on the sack to avoid the nicks and snags and maybe those three interceptions on Saturday. Go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR for 20% off your first purchase and free shipping. You'll get a box of goodies such as a crop preserver. It's a deodorant for your balls. Again, go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR. Don't ruin your weekend like a college football game can. All right, guys, welcome into another Pitt Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast, or I should say Panther Rants podcast for abbreviated, presented by Armchair Media. Take a seat. So much has happened since I last podcasted. I tried to do a podcast yesterday, but we got a new ad for Blue Chew because we're doing Manscaped in my and Blue Chew this week. So if you're if you're a guy and you're heavily into the below the belt thing, on top of the grooming, we got the boner pills. So I'll be giving more information on that, and for your ladies as well, if you're listening to this, hey, or if you know a guy who grooms or he needs that extra confidence, this is some good stuff here. Well, of course, I think with the Blue Chew, though, you're going to have to need a you're going to need to do a online thing. So I'm sure, doing a FaceTime with a doctor and seeing that you're a female, trying to get boner pills wouldn't be a good, I don't think it will work. Yeah. Just, just easily, slip them the code, slip them the promo code and, you don't have to tell them, be upfront and tell him about it because he may get insulted, but you just say, hey, it's just a little, it's like say when Barry Bonds and Canseco and McGuire were taking those roids to hit 70 home runs. Hey, you're hitting 50 homers now in bed. You want to hit 70, 80 homers? I mean, come on. All right, I'm getting away from a lot of topics here. Yeah, we'll get to that, midway through the thing. All right. Saturday, we saw a bunch of college football games. We'll talk about that. Obviously, Pitt, after having that big win against Florida State at home, with the, played Nicholl State, being 18.5-point favorites, and they lost. And there was just a lot. There was leading up to that, it seemed a lot happened between that game and Nicholl State. Basically, Jeff Capel kicked them out of practice Friday because they were pretty much had their heads up their asses, is what that was said after the Robert Morris game. And he pretty much had some stuff to say, some strong words after that loss against Nicholl State. He basically said that, these guys aren't good as they say they are. And I think one thing that he really clarified as we, on social media, we see a lot of videos being made of Pitt doing these bricks and all this other crap. And Jeff Capel, reiterated that we're more than just, these social media videos. We're actually a program that's trying to get better. And, we're more than just these videos, these speeches. Because anyone can make videos and speeches. If your team sucks, your team sucks. But Saturday, Pitt was an 18.5-point favorite against Nicholl State and lost outright. They were 10.5 point favorites against Robert Morris last night, and they were tied at halftime. They got off to a bad start in that game last night, and I think you can attribute some of that to Robert Morris's new arena. This was the first game in their new home, and obviously there was going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of fanfare. You know, Pitt, you know, they start off hot, but then Robert Morris went on a big run themselves. They were up, I think at one point they were up 17-8. But Pitt would eventually recover and tie it at halftime. And then the second half was a different story. Robert Morris just didn't have an answer for them. There's a lot of talk of Xavier Johnson about his performance. I guess people are saying that he's just not good. He sucks. Xavier Johnson's in year two right now. And yeah, he's off to a bad start right now. He did contribute a good bit last night. I mean, not the points, but he had some assists and rebounds. He'll get better. It's just that he was really good last year, and so teams have to really watch what he's doing. I mean, they're going to key on him more. And that's why we have guys like Terrell Brown, Trey McGowan, and Ryan Murphy. We have guys like that that can step in when Xavier Johnson has his bad game. Because you saw what happened last night. He struggled. Ryan Murphy, Trey McGowan, and Terrell Brown all picked up the slack, and things were good. But they got West Virginia next, and that's, I believe, a Friday game. Yes, it's a Friday game. And then Monday after that, they got Monmouth. They got Pine Bluff Thursday, the 21st, and they got Kansas State the 25th. And then they have a little Thanksgiving break. So their schedule isn't easy. And I believe Monmouth's that team that they had a lot of buzz for doing all those bench dances because they were winning games. And, of course, you know, like any mid-major, they have to win their tournament to actually be taken seriously as an NCAA candidate. You know, they lost in the tournament. And, of course, they were in the 19, I guess. I don't know if they did any dancing there. Who knows? Who cares? But West Virginia will be a tough game. I'll talk about that more probably later in the week. Oh, if I podcast on Friday, maybe I'll talk about it. But I don't have it in front of me to really break it down. Pitt basketball had a shit. Let's dial that back. Pitt football had a bye week because Pitt basketball hasn't. I'm sorry, guys. I was working until 3 a.m. last night doing reboots, and no matter how strong I made this coffee, it just isn't going to do it right. But anyways, Pitt's got North Carolina. They're out of the ACC Coastal race. Pitt's still somewhat in it, but UVA has one last ACC game left, and if they get past Virginia Tech, then we're pretty much, you know, it's all she wrote. And, you know, if we don't get the Coastal, it's fine. Just win out the rest of your damn slate and get that 9-3. I'm sure, but knowing us, our luck will end up like 8-4, because we can't really have high expectations of. Although 9-3, you know, for some people was low expectations, depending on the program. I mean, if you're Bama, 9-3 sucks. You want to fire Nick Saban. Us 9-3 is like a banner year. I mean, it's for us. It's, you know, it's a big thing, and I guess it's a chance to go to 10 wins. And does Michigan State, though, consider Pat Narduzzi a serious candidate, though, if Mark D'Antonio is gone? There's talk that Mark D'Antonio may retire after this year, and they may go after Pat Narduzzi. I think Pat Narduzzi will get a call and probably get an interview. I just don't see him going to Michigan State. I mean, I think he'll stay at Pitt, but on the other hand, I think Michigan State will probably give the job to somebody else because there's a lot of other candidates they can go after. Luke Fickell is the obvious one because he's at Cincinnati. He's with an AAC team. And I'm sure, you know, AAC is a bad conference. They got plenty of teams ranked in the top 25, but at the end of the day, they're not a power conference. So much for that. There's Matt Rhule at Baylor. He's got them at 9-0, but
I don't know how that's going to plan out. I think they just gave Roll an extension. And on top of that, they're going to fight like hell to keep Roll at Baylor. Baylor has the money to do it. I don't think Michigan State will dump a whole lot of money to lure Matt Roll. It's going to be somebody else. I don't see it being Narduzzi. I think they'll give him a courtesy interview because that's just how that is. But looking at the North Carolina game, they start off pretty hot with wins against Miami and South Carolina. They fizzled their last game they played. They got into a shootout with UVA and lost 30-31. Before that, they and they're also coming off a bye week. They haven't played since November 2nd. So that can work out for Pitt as well because they're coming off a bye week as well. In fact, they've had the same amount of time off as we have. So I'm looking at this game to be a low-scoring one because both teams will be flat. It depends on which team shows up for North Carolina. It could be the one that lost to UVA 30-31. It could be the team that beat Duke 20-17, or it could be the team that lost to Virginia Tech 43-41 overtime, or it could be the team that beat Georgia Tech 30-22. It's very up and down with them. They average more yards from the ground than we do in passing, just by not much, but we beat them in total defense. In fact, their offensive line isn't that good, and they allow over three sacks a game. So that's a big thing there. Is basically Pitt's going to have to get pressure on the quarterback because it's one of those spread offenses again because Mac Brown wants to do the air raid. Basically, same thing as any other offense we've seen this year. Rinse, repeat. All Pitt needs to do is get pressure on the quarterback, make him uncomfortable, make him scared, make him shaking his boots, and I think, make him make his mistakes as well, and I think we'll be fine. Now, there's one thing to note. I know we've been harping on the running game. Now, I'm looking at Athlon Sports, and in Pitt's first three contests, they averaged 87 yards on the ground. Their last six contests, they've averaged 153 yards on the ground. So the running game is trending upwards. It's getting better. And, you know, we have a bunch of guys sharing the load. I mean, you know, A.J. Davis, Vincent Davis, Todd Sibley. I mean, we got a bunch of guys that are sharing the load of this, you know, for the running game. Passing game is getting there. I mean, obviously, we with Taysir Mack, Maurice French, and you know, Shockey Jockey's really starting to step up. One thing that the Athletics Pitt, as you know, he's on Twitter. I mentioned that you know Pickett's shoulder was hurting from the Syracuse game, and maybe with the extra rest, maybe he'll be able to throw better and be a little more confident in the pocket. But I look for this game to be a low-scoring game and one-score game because both these teams have a lot of one-score games, and I like Pitt in this one. I think Pitt wins by at least, let's see. I say give us a field goal. Touchdown at the most. It's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, I don't see, you know, given both teams being off a bye week, they're going to be flat because Pitt always is usually, and I'm sure North Carolina will be as well. But defensively, we should be fine. We have DeMar Hamlin coming back, although we played well without him anyway. But still, we have, you know, really good defense, and hopefully we actually score a lot of points, and that'd be nice, actually, if we did that, where we're not so reliant on our defense, but whatever. Anyways, that game is Thursday night game tomorrow. So stay tuned, guys. Now, as we look at the rest of the ACC, we saw Clemson beat NC State 55-10. People got a big deal about this because they said North Carolina, I guess Clemson ran up the score. And if you look at the box score, they were up 42-0 at halftime, and all they did really was add 13 points in the second half. It's not like they, you know, dropped another 28 on them. I mean, if you score 42 at halftime and you're up 42, you know, nothing, I mean, scoring like 13 isn't such a bad deal. I mean, they outscored NC State in the second half, 13-10, so that's really not bad. So I'm not sure why people are screaming about this or made such a big deal about it. Notre Dame beat Duke 38-7. Virginia Tech knocked off Wake Forest. So the Hokies really, you know, they've ever since that Duke loss, they've recovered pretty well and they're bowl eligible. Florida State beat Boston College 30-31. Florida State's now 5-5 and are looking to go, you know, to a bowl game. Maybe the Billy Taggart firing gave them some new life. I don't know. But after the last time Florida State went to the college football playoff, they were really trending downward. And I think maybe Jimbo Fisher left Willie Taggart a bigger mess than we think. It's not totally Willie Taggart. It's whatever he was left. Georgia Tech lost to Virginia 33-28. So Virginia has one ACC game left. So they win that. They beat the Hokies, and that's it. Miami destroyed Louisville 52-27. I was surprised by this game. I figured Louisville would give them a game, but Miami just took them out and took them out early. Top 25, two games that really stand out, as we all know. Actually, three. Bama and LSU. I didn't watch most of this because I was at the park with my kids. But I saw the halftime score was 33-13, which surprised the hell out of me that LSU was beating that badly. Which means that obviously Joe Burrow is the real deal. Bama did come back at the end, but, you know, it was like pretty much they were done anyway. So I'm really surprised by this. And plus, we got, obviously, we're going to have two SEC teams in the college football playoff, probably whether we like it or not, because that's what people want. That's what they want. It drives ratings up. I mean, you got to have Bama. That's just how it is. But they're fifth ranked. They're waiting in the wings to scoop up the other one. But I think, say, if Baylor wins out, and maybe even if Minnesota wins out, and maybe gives Ohio State a one loss, if it is Ohio State, and say if these teams are left out of the college football playoff, I think there's going to be a lot more outrage. So keep an eye on that. Minnesota beat Penn State 31-26. The over on this game was 47.5 or 48. I took the over in this game because I figured that it was going to be a high-scoring game. But I thought Penn State would win, though, in a shootout. If you watch the Michigan game, Michigan exposed a lot of the Penn State secondary. Josh Gattis called one hell of a game for Michigan. He was doing pretty good early on in that game. The problem is that Michigan wasn't executing. They weren't scoring points. And then, you know, towards the end they did. And, all, you know, one drop pass was the difference between them going, you know, Penn State winning or going to overtime. If that game goes overtime, though, I think Michigan wins it. But this time around, Penn State was unable to snatch victory from jaws of defeat. They fell down early, you know, on the opening drive. One thing I mentioned a few weeks ago was that Sean Clifford was floating his passes. He did on the opening drive, and it was an interception. And it was funny because, you know, a Penn State troll called me up as a hater. And I've been pretty complimentary to Sean Clifford. I just said if he keeps playing his passes, it's going to come back to bite him. Well, that first drive it did. The second pick, he threw his back foot, but there was a pass interference, it looked like, and it didn't get called. The only thing I think of is the refs probably didn't see, you know, it happen because he had one defender behind the receiver trying to tackle him before the ball's coming down, and you got another defensive back from Minnesota trying to make a play on the ball. But I thought the momentum of the game was going to turn in the second half when Minnesota pinned Penn State back deeper on the territory and they punted. It looked like Minnesota was going to go for the kill, but they fumbled and Penn State converted to a touchdown. And you figured then things were going to go Penn State's way. They get a stop late, and Clifford made one hell of a throw and catch his receiver. And I thought he was going to take it to the house. And he just like, I don't know what it was. It was like a Mr. Mom type thing where Jack Butler looks like he's going to win the race and falls on purpose. But this guy just like stopped like that. He was trying to make a move. And he got tackled. I think if he had just kept running, he would have made it to the end zone. But Penn State, you know, had the ball at the 2-yard line. But then a pass interference call stretched it to first and whatever, a goal line situation from like the 20, and Clifford threw a pick, and there was some, you know, obviously some stuff going on there. I mean, it's basically your prototypical Big Ten game in November. It's a big game, and obviously the officiating is going to do teams wrong one way or the other. That's how Big Ten games always are. If I'm a Penn State fan, am I panicking? Probably not. They got to play Ohio State. Well, first you got to get past 24th ranked Indiana, which I'm sure they'll do that. I mean, Indiana's 24th ranked, which shocks the hell out of me. I mean, good for them, but they're still Indiana, so Penn State should blow them out. Then they got Ohio State. And I think, you know, what Penn State needs is they need to beat Ohio State, because nobody's challenged Ohio State this year at all. And, of course, they're going to need Michigan, you know, to continue on their improvement and beat Ohio State. It could happen because Jim Harbaugh really needs this win. So I think, if that happens, I think you can see Penn State playing in the Big Ten title game, and they may play Minnesota again. You know, this scenario could happen. So, the thing is, they'd have to make Justin Smith throw, because he's not, you know, he's more of a runner than a thrower, and it could happen for Penn State. It could. But they need some help from Michigan. I know people want to fire Jim Harbaugh or get rid of him, but I think you need to give Jim Harbaugh more time with Josh Gattis, because he's got an actually good offensive coordinator now. And I think good things are going to happen for Michigan. They just have to be very patient. But they're improving a lot now.
Guys, remember when you won their sex? Now you can get better performance and have that extra confidence. It's kind of like a Mark Whipple playbook. Go to BlueChew.com. It's blue like the color. We bring in the first chewable tablet, like Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full or empty stomach. And they're chewable. They were twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready when the opportunity arises. So if you want to be walking around like PJ Fleck with a big swinging boner after a big win on Saturday, go to BlueChew.com. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR. Your first store will be free. All you got to do is pay for shipping. Again, go to BlueChew.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR. And get that big swinging boner. And get that sex. Like George Michael. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. BlueChew.com. Armchair. Ooh, I feel like, you know, I feel like, you know, if you ever watch The State on MTV, I feel like Barry and LaVon, you know, that little skit those guys used to do, where they would play, Sexual Healing. And, like, I think there was one where they had a big thing of pudding, and they were, like, rubbing their ass in it. And, of course, there was the couch they bought, or the love seat. And they put on, I guess, what did they say? Well, we put on layaway. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyways, guys. Over the weekend, you saw the Steelers won. They're 5-4 now. Mason Rudolph came back. They beat the Rams 17-12. Jared Goff obviously can't score away from home. So I don't know why people are freaking out about this, about him, you know, struggling. He can't play. I mean, he's still a work in progress. He just happened to go to a Super Bowl, and they had to give him a whole bunch of money because of it. Well, they really didn't have to give him money. They weren't obligated, but they did. It's kind of like with Colin Kaepernick, who's getting a tryout here pretty soon, you know, with some teams. He took the Niners to the Super Bowl. I mean, they gave him some money.
I mean, and this year when they gave him that big contract, I wasn't crazy about it because I said, you know, the way he plays, teams are going to figure him out eventually. But if the 49ers don't give him that money, somebody else is going to give it to him. So, quarterbacks are a premium, and you need a good quarterback. And so, at the time, yeah, it kind of made sense. I don't know if I would have dumped all that money into him because I figured teams would figure him out, which they eventually did, actually. Lance Zierlein, who does the sports radio down here in Houston, mentioned that when Green Bay couldn't figure him out, they went to Texas A&M to learn the offense that they were running in San Francisco. Eventually, just figure out how they can stop it. And that's how they were able to stop Colin Kaepernick. And if you look at Lamar Jackson, he has the same offensive coordinator as Colin Kaepernick did when he had in San Francisco. So they have the same coordinator. So teams will eventually figure out Lamar Jackson. So my curiosity is how Lamar develops his game. He's lying it up. But eventually he's going to have to stop running. And not to mention teams are going to, they're going to get more play film on him. New England, sure, they lost that game, but you got to be eerie about these type of games. Ben Roethlisberger, in his first ever start against New England, he blew up New England. He lit them up. And then New England had film on him. So when we got the AFC title game weeks later, or months later, I should say, they knew how to stop Ben, and they end up in the Super Bowl, and we didn't. But we went back the next year, though. So, those are some things to talk about. Obviously, the Astros are talk now about the stealing signs, and I guess I'll get into that later in the week. But I just want to, talk about North Carolina, about the recap, and, of course, about the new men's products. Obviously, my podcast has become the leader in men's below-the-belt health, whether it's shaving or whether it's, erections. So, if you know somebody who wants some extra edge, hey, pass the promo codes. We're all human beings. And kudos to the Pitt women basketball. They were down 17 against Central Connecticut State at the half. They destroyed them in the second half and got the win. Good for Lance White. Good for the ladies. I know it's snowing out there. It's been stay safe out there, guys. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I'll be watching it. Hail to Pitt. Talk to you later.